How'd you like to have to follow that? But the good news is I get to follow that. Yes. Well, as you've heard, this month is about possibilities. And I thought it was quite natural that we take a look at love, being this is, what's that holiday? Valentine's Day coming up. So we're going to look at possibilities and love this morning. Now, if you look in your Bible, you're going to find the word love mentioned some 700 times. So it's a little bit important. And it paints an interesting picture of love. And I pulled out just a few pieces of that to share with you. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, it never fails. And of these three remain faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And it goes on and on, painting this amazing picture of this spiritual principle that we call love. Now, I suspect that every teacher, every spiritual teacher, every preacher, every theologian at one time or another has even written or spoken about love. And Charles Fillmore, who along with his wife Myrtle was the co-founders of the Unity Movement, spoke a bit about it as well. Let me share a few passages with you about what Papa Charlie said about love. When love is established in consciousness, it will draw to us all that we require to make us happy and contented, all that really belongs to us. Unselfish love is fearless because of its forgetfulness of self. A sense of oneness is a natural product of love. Love is a force that runs in the mind and body. I love this. Love is a force that runs in the mind and body like molten gold in a furnace. It does not mix with the baser metals. It has no affinity for anything less than itself. Love is a satisfaction in itself, not that satisfaction with personal self, its possessions and its attractions, which is vanity, but an inner satisfaction that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all is good, and by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. When only good is seen and felt, how can there be anything but satisfaction? So we learn from this that love is a principle that exists in our world. Now, it exists whether we're aware of it or not. Every once in a while, you'll hear of some scientists who've explored some unknown corner of our planet and discovered all kinds of plants and animals that they'd never seen before. Now, the fact that we had never seen them before and we hadn't cataloged them and put them in a category and given them a scientific name didn't mean that that didn't exist, does it? They existed just fine without us. And so is it with love. Love exists as a spiritual principle, as an attribute of God, as an attribute of all that is, whether we're aware of it or not. But it's always there, always has been, always will be. And that's important for us to start out there, acknowledging this quality of love and recognizing that it is there for us to discover and for us to experience. Now, when we look at it and consider possibilities in love, one other passage I want to share here with you from Charles Fillmore. This spiritual principle is here all the time. It is around us. It is in us, actually. And Charles Fillmore says there's a little bit of a snag, though, because we have this spiritual principle that exists, but we don't always see it in its perfect form in this world, and there's a reason for that. Charles Fillmore says, there's a distinction between love of the divine type, exercised by divine humans, and love of the human type, exercised in the mortal human. It requires discriminating judgment to distinguish between human and divine love. All love is divine in its origin, but in passing through the prism of man's mind, it is apparently broken into many colors. Yet, like the ray of white light, it remains ever pure. It is within man's providence to make its manifestation in this life just as pure in its origin. This, too, requires painstaking discrimination and good judgment. We learn by experience that love must be directed by wisdom. If we give up blindly to the impulses suggested by human love, we shall suffer many downfalls. So there's this catch between this world and this spiritual principle that's absolutely perfect and so beautiful, we stand. And sometimes, like that prism that splits light up into all its different colors, we do that with love as well. Now, let's look at some possibilities and love. One possibility for love and humankind is that an individual is born into a family where the parents know what love is, and they are loving, and they allow themselves to be loved, and that's taught and it's modeled. And this individual grows up in that environment and learns what love is really all about and learns how to manifest it and goes out in the world and does that. It's sadly, unfortunately, relatively rare that you find those people who have that kind of experience. They're there. I'm not being pessimistic at all. There certainly are people who have that kind of experience. I've known many of them. But it is too rare that that happens, that the possibility of developing fully and completely this divine love in our human bodies and in our human lives. So that's one possibility, that someone learns it and lives it and life is absolutely wonderful, just like we've heard described both in the Bible and in the writings of Charles Fillmore. There's another possibility, though, and that is that an individual is born to a couple who don't have that kind of understanding about love. I learned very quickly on in ministry that Mother's Day and Father's Day are times of celebration, but they're also very challenging days as well, because people have that kind of memory that doesn't bring a smile to their face. And that's one possibility of the way we deal with love, is that we miss the boat, is that love is not modeled for us. It is not taught to us. And we don't feel it, we don't experience it, we don't know it. So we bumble through life, messing up one relationship after another of all sorts because we don't know how to love. There's some fascinating research I found recently about how important the brain is. And there's some research, this is controversial because not everybody agrees with it, but there's one guy who's done research on brain scans. And he can see in people's brains, those people who have trouble loving and caring, keeping, maintaining, and having healthy relationships, he can read that in their brain, by the way their brain works, because this idea of love just doesn't register to them. And this love that is, as Charles Fillmore said, is the healing, harmonizing force in the universe. If that is not present, it spills out into all of life, particularly in relationships. Because of that brain activity, that person is not able to receive love and certainly not able to give love. And as another aside, I read some further research that said that there is a significantly disproportionate number of people who are incarcerated who had head injuries and had brain damage. And there's even more significantly disproportionate number of repeat offenders who have brain injuries. That's kind of scary in a way, a lot to think about there. But that's some of the things that we're discovering here. So that second possibility is that an individual misses out on learning how to love and goes through life stumbling along, bumbling along, messing up a lot of things because they don't know how to love and they don't know how to be loved. Now, a third possibility is that one of these individuals, or many of them in our case, who did not get the complete story of what love is and learn how to love and didn't find themselves immersed in love and how to exercise love, one of those individuals says, this is not right. Something's not quite right here. And we stop blaming the world. Several times in counseling, people have come in after having a series of bad relationships. And one guy in particular, I remember, blamed every woman he had ever been in a relationship. It was her fault. Yeah, this one did this, and this one did this, and this one did this, and this one did this. And there were sometimes a long series of them. And we went through all the litany of problems that are there, and I said, okay, let me ask you this question. What is the consistent factor in all of those relationships? He said, well, those women, they did this and this and this and this and this. I said, no, there were different women. They acted differently. What was the consistent factor in all of these relationships? And it was so hard to get this guy to look at himself. And he finally said, well, I guess I am, huh? I said, yeah, let's work on that a little bit here. But when an individual realizes that he or she does not understand what love is really all about and doesn't have a clue about how to live it and express it, but they want to. And their willingness is opened up. And they begin to listen. They begin to look around. They begin to search. They begin to research. And begin to hang out with people who are healthy. And they start learning things and say, wow, I see this differently now. When I was in St. Louis, I had a lady come out of church with tears just streaming down her face. She said, I didn't have an idea what love was till I came to Unity. And being among people that are minded like us, she discovered what love was really all about. So that's a possibility for us. That is that we begin to heal. We realize that we've missed something along the way. We weren't taught what we needed to be taught. We didn't have modeled for us what we needed to see. But we begin to learn on our own. And that's really where unity is. Inviting people to say, at this point in my life, I realize I don't know everything I need to know. I don't have everything developed within my heart that needs to be developed, but I'm going to. And we found a place now where that can happen. And people come to a place like Unity and they find that. They look around and they see people caring about each other and loving each other. And they listen to the teachings and they hear the great teachings about what love is, this great spiritual principle that is there. And things begin to change. The individual I mentioned earlier that does the brain scan says that you can literally change the biochemical operation of your brain by what you learn and what you believe and what you live. So when you start learning about love and you realize love is not conditional, love is there waiting for you to open up your willingness and your ability to embrace it. Love is not waiting for you to be good enough. Love is not waiting for you to deserve it. Love is not waiting for you to get enough S&H green stamps, as I mentioned to you recently. Love is just simply waiting for you to open up your eyes and open up your heart and say, yes. So the deserving part has nothing to do with it whatsoever. So there are individuals that wake up and say, I believe that there is this spiritual principle of love in the world and I want some of it. I want to live that way. And they begin to look around and they see people who have learned to live that way and are living that way and say, I want that. I've heard so many Unity people say they were out somewhere and with friends or enjoying themselves and somebody says, you know, I don't know what you have, but I want some of that. Because we want that freedom that is within us, that power that is within us, that light that is within us that love brings. So that possibility is there. Any of you have been working on yourself for more than a week? Any of you been working on yourself for at least a lifetime? Yeah, that's the case that happens. And sometimes it gets tiresome, doesn't it? Sometimes you begin to feel hopeless. Sometimes you think this is never going to change. But I say to you today that the possibility is there. That we can become exactly what we were designed to be. We were designed to be love machines. We were designed to be able to see and understand and feel and to appropriate and to express love out into the world according to the character of that spiritual principle. Love doesn't say, I love you if you love me back. But is that dynamic present in the world? Yeah, some of you have been on one end or the other of that kind of process. I love you if you love me back. I love you if you'll do this. I won't love you if you do that. But what the way that we are created was to live love in its pure form, which means I love you, period. Have you felt that? Have you experienced that from someone who looked into your eyes and said, I love you, period. No qualifications, no waiting, no earning, no deserving. I love you, period. That's what we were made for. And it is possible. It is possible for every one of us to move to that place. The more that we understand about this principle of love, the more we see the truth in that love, and the more willing we are to open ourselves up and let that love flow through us. Now, love is very illuminating. If you really love yourself, I don't know, I don't remember where it came from. Where did that phrase about warts and all? Who did that first? Somebody did. God bless you, whoever it was. You begin to love yourself, warts and all. You begin to love yourself unconditionally. And that becomes such a powerful flow. That possibility is always there for us to do that. Interestingly enough, we are told from Scripture to love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's a very interesting phrase. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that really mean? Well, in one sense, it means two things. As yourself means while you are loving yourself. Love your neighbor while you are loving yourself. And the deeper implication of that is that happens automatically. When you truly love yourself, then you truly love your neighbor. And the second sense of as yourself means in the same way. You love yourself in the same way that you love others. Now, you've heard at some point that you should love other people, right? You should do this. And a lot of people love from that should. And that doesn't work very well. It's not very satisfying. It's not very pleasing. It's not very nourishing to love somebody because you have to. You remember in school when you had to do a book report? And you read the book and you gritted your teeth the whole time through it and then wrote the blasted report. And then years later, you had the opportunity to read the book just for fun and you discovered this is a wonderful book. But it wasn't wonderful when you had to do it. And whatever that energy is that we create that we have to do for somebody else is not really love. So when we hear love yourself as you love others, it means in the same way. We have less trouble loving others than we do ourselves. So when we begin to truly understand love, that all flows together. And there is no difference in my loving myself and loving you. It is there because of the principle of love. Now, one last possibility is that we are able to move to that place of fully understanding this spiritual principle of love. We understand its presence in the world. We understand how it works in us. We understand how it works through us, and we live that. We live it every day. No more struggle. No more trying to fix it. No more trying to make it better. We embrace it. It embraces us, and we live fully in love. And we don't have to try anymore. We don't have to fail anymore. It happens. That is a distinct possibility that's built into who and what you are and what all of us are. Wouldn't it be a different world? Well, let me bring it back. You can say, yeah, that's a big thing, but let me bring it a little closer. Would your world be any different if every day you could live completely in the awareness and the expression of love in your life? Would your life be different? Think people would treat you differently? Think people would see you differently? Some of them will. Some of them never will. But that's not the point. The point is you living that life of love completely and fully, no holds barred, with no qualifications, nothing you have to do first. Yes, it would change your life and the life of those around you, and it would change the life of this planet. And it is a distinct possibility that that could happen. Can it happen? Yes. Is it going to happen? Yes. I want to say hell yes, but I shouldn't say that in here. Heaven yes. That's better. That's better. So as we approach this day where we celebrate Valentine's Day, we celebrate loving one another, let us do it like never before. Let us do it with a passion like we've not had before. Let us do it with an understanding of the possibility of the full expression of love like never before. Let us expect it to happen. When you go out in the world, do you expect to be loved? What if you did? If you went out in the world expecting every day, everybody I meet is going to love me. Whether they do or not is irrelevant. It's your expectation that's important because that expectation will shape the way you act in the world. You go out in the world saying, I'm going to love everybody I meet. Scare people to death. They need being shaken up though. So is it a possibility for us to go out into the world and be loved by everybody we meet? Yes. Is it a possibility for us to go out into the world and love everybody we meet? Yes. Is it a possibility that that love can completely change our life? Yes. Is it a possibility that you and I can manifest what we were truly designed to be and do. Yes, it is. So during this week, as you're going to be seeing Cupid flying around, shooting arrows everywhere and chocolate everywhere, as you're thinking about love, I invite you to think about possibilities and love. And allow that to move through you during this week. What are the possibilities for me and love? What are the possibilities of being loved by others? What are the possibilities of my loving others? Give that some thought. And let that move in and through your heart. And let that flow of liquid gold pour through you as a sweet, pure love of spirit moves in and through you. That's possible. God bless you, my friends.
Well, we certainly have a great love for this community and each other here. Now's the time to share that by giving of our financial gifts. Lawrence and I tithe here, and we know many of you believe in either a tithing commitment or some sort of commitment just to show your continuing and continuous support. So thank you for all that you give. In addition to your money, we appreciate your gift of just showing up to be here. We have 350 seats here, so there's plenty of room to come and invite others. We thank you for all your service. Thanks to those who brought the snacks today, and we just are grateful. So won't you hold your gift in your hand, please, as we bless it for each other together. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God, of source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us, and so it is. Amen.